there, it's Janae Desmond-Harris, aka Dear Prudence, and I want you to tell me about all your problems. Each week on Slate's Dear Prudence podcast, I'm here to tackle your questions about relationships, sex, work, family, and beyond, all with the help of an expert guest. We'll help you navigate it all, whether you're a teen dealing with parents, an adult looking to spice up your sex life, or you just need some validation that you're not losing it. We're here to listen and to offer some guidance. Need help? Just ask Prudy. New episodes every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know what's sexy to a woman?
What's up?
A man who can pay his own bills.
Nah, that's overrated.
A man who has stability.
That's overrated.
Like, you got your Jeep Wrangler, and you rolling around the bay, and then what you gonna do when the rent is due?
That's all that matters. I just gotta roll around the bay and look smooth. I didn't say it was my wife. I said this was my girl.
No,
she don't know.
You don't have to roll about.
She don't know what my rent look like.
Youngblood, here's what it's about.
I just wanna get to know ya, know ya, know ya, yeah.
So, Nige, we just heard a short clip from season one of last year where our finance father, Sonari, was throwing you some shade for wanting to get a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah, facts. Sonari is for sure a hater.
And you told me you got a new car a little bit ago, but I'm pretty sure the people want to know, what's the new whip?
I feel like you really just set me up, and now it's about to be, like, really anticlimactic. I got on Craigslist, and I got a Honda Accord.
What?
Yeah.
But you were like, oh, Jeep Wrangler, ride or die.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean,
time and unforeseen occurrences befall us all. It says that's the scripture, right? I don't know.
Too many big words. No. What's the real tea, Nige?
But I got a four-door sedan, so it's not like the my old Honda where you had to like jump over my head to get in the back seat.
Okay.
Now all
so
my
you did
homies
upgrade.
Yeah. All my homies. All my homies got their own personal door action going on.
What year is it though?
It's a good year. It was a good year for the country.
Like a 90 year.
It was a
or
good,
like
no,
a
it was
early?
Just a good. It was a good. It's a good year
Okay, hey,
don't worry about what year my car is. It's a good year.
By the way, everybody, this is Adult-ish by Wire Media, a show where we figure out our adult issues like spending money and apparently where Nige doesn't know the year of his car. And today's episode is all about broke-ish.
So our boss, Davey, proposed to us. He was like, yo, Naj and Merc, I think it'd be really cool if you guys sent each other screenshots of last month's purchases. And we were like, yo, that's kind of weird.
Nah.
I don't really want to do that. I don't really want everybody in our business and stuff. But, you know how me and Merc, we bought the business. We put our business suits on and hopped in there, started negotiating. And we convinced Davey that he needed to share his too and be vulnerable with us, and he agreed. So Merc doesn't know what I'm going to bring up from last month's purchases, and I don't know what she's going to bring up either. But Merc, how about you start off?
Okay. All right, so let me scroll here. Okay. Okay, nah.
What'd you got?
$94.12 at Pear Street Bistro? Okay, wait, hold on. I'm assuming that bistro is a meal. Who were you trying to impress? Please don't tell me it's yourself.
So, okay.
Okay.
I know how this is going to look, but it was brunch. Yeah, we went to brunch. And basically, just me and the homies. But brunch was going on. I was a little late. Endless Mimosas was flowing. Everybody had the Endless Mimosas flowing already. I tried to jump in on the end of the little bandwagon. I was like, yo, let me hop in on the Endless Mimosas. But they didn't tell me that Endless Mimosas stopped at 2:30. Then it was just like, I was just paying for individual mimosas. And it was like, yo, Endless Mimosas ended.
Wait, why didn't you just stop?
I was like, four mimosas in, I was feeling endless. And so they came over. They was like, yo. They were like, yo, Endless Mimosas is over. And I was like, what that mean to me? And then that's how it got to $94 at brunch.
Dang.
I could have done better. It wasn't my best money decision. But since I'm on the hot seat, how about I put you on the same hot seat, turn into a hot bench?
What? Did you just say hot bitch?
I said hot bench.
Oh, I thought you said bitch.
See, you just messed up the whole flow. Now we can't even do it. We're going to get into your stuff here. Hold on. Let me see what Merc spends her money on.
I'm a saint. I'm a reasonable spender.
Pun classes.
No, that's just lived experience.
Oh, wait, hold up. So at AMC Theaters, it says you got, wait, $15.95 at AMC.
That's normal.
Two, wait, three, four, five, six? Six different purchases. Okay, so let's say you spent up to $100 at the movie theater.
Yeah, no, tickets are expensive.
In 1 month? Are you paying for, like, everybody's tickets? $100 at the movie theaters in 1 month?
No. No, I told you, going to the movies is, like, my me time. No one wants to go to the movies with me. Everyone's, like, busy or, you know.
So these are, like, all by yourself?
Pretty much.
Yo, that's even worse. You're spending $100. You're spending $100 at the movie theater by yourself?
I'm getting uncomfortable in this hot seat.
Yeah,
no more roasting.
Let's get Davies going.
Davey, for everybody listening,
Davey's in the control room over here, always listening in like a little creeper to every podcast. That's a little fun fact.
Like the Russians.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little fun fact for you guys. Davey's always here. So, Davey, wait, send the things over. Hold on, let's see what Davey is out here spending. All right, I got it. Merc, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Wait, so $15 at Boardwalk Skills Games? What kind of nonsense is that?
That's very boring. That's kind of cute.
Boardwalk Skill Games?
$15? Okay, $50 on Buck Mason t-shirts. Do you even know what those are?
Bro, Buck Masons are like just t-shirts. They're literally just Hanes t-shirts without the Hanes logo on it.
Oh.
$50 per plain t-shirt.
That's so, why do you need, I mean.
$40 on PS4 Network for zombies.
Didn't you guys play together?
Yeah, I play PS4. Davey's trash. He always makes us lose. Anyway, so shouldn't have spent that $40. $35 on Dax Lee Barbershop. Okay, I'm with that because I spend way more on my barber a month.
Actually, yeah, no, I spend like 70 on my
baby haircut. Davey spending on that one because that's literally the only one that I truly understand. I mean, I would understand the PS4 if he killed more zombies, but the 35.
My bad.
I'm not like it's heckin' shady. I'm just talking about Davey. He's just over here mouthing things in silence like a mime through this window.
Okay, well, anyway, long tangent over. It's all love here. We're just, you know, playfully judging each other. I think we can all say that we spend a lot on some things we probably don't need to spend that much on.
Yup, and that's why we decided to do a broke-ish episode. Because while Merc, Davey, Nicolas Cage, and I all currently have the privilege of making some questionable purchases with money, we also know what it's like to be broke and live paycheck to paycheck. It was a study by Charles Schwab that said almost 2/3 of millennials are struggling living paycheck to paycheck.
Yep, because you know, we all got to deal with cost of living. It's more expensive than it was before. We get lower wages, school loans, all that. So this episode's got two parts. First, we're going to get into hashtag goals with millennial money expert Tanya Rapley. And if you've never heard someone talk about money in like a spiritual way before, well, you're about to.
Then me and Merc are going to talk about how she won't lend me even $10 if I ask for it. A real life hater.
Sorry, not sorry.
But anyway, with all of that being said, let's get into this.
One of our guests today is Tanya Rapley, aka the mastermind behind My Fab Finance. Unlike us, she's a millennial money expert who's getting dollar bills, writing about how you can keep your dollar bills through her book, Money Manual, a practical money guide to help you succeed on your financial journey. Tanya, thanks for being here to help us reach our hashtag goals.
I am honored to be here to help you with your hashtag goals. That's my ministry.
I think I just want to start off by saying we cast out our net to our listeners to see if they had any money questions to ask. And honestly, it was kind of difficult to get some because it's hard for people to, you know, broadcast their money struggles to the world.
No, it is one of those things that people are typically hesitant to talk about. And then you just kind of extend the carpet and then they just start going with it. And I've had people ask questions. I'm like, whoa, you just like, that's really personal. Let's talk about this after everyone else leaves the room. So yeah, it has been different, but I think that's also because of the type of financial expert that I am. Like, I didn't go to school for finance. I'm self-taught. And so I think it removes some of that, the embarrassment that people might have when they're speaking to an expert, as well as people understand, like, I'm just like you. Like, I was, you know, now 7 years ago, I was on my Brooklyn bedroom floor crying, figuring out how I was going to piece it all together.
That's me right now on my bedroom floor.
Life changes so quick.
So you're all about helping people with financial empowerment. And on your website, it says that you started Fab Finance in 2013 at a time when, quote, your financial life was out of order, end quote. In 2013, my financial life was definitely out of order, only because I was splurging on snapbacks and diamond supply when I should have probably been saving my money. But I'm curious, like, what did your 2013 look like when you were financially out of order?
My 2013 looked like I was working at a nonprofit and I was making maybe less than $30,000 a year living in New York City. I had student loans. I was out of an abusive relationship. I was thinking about going to graduate school. Actually, I'd already failed out of graduate school because I was doing too much. So I was thinking about re-enrolling in graduate school. And I wanted to get my first apartment on my own. And I applied and they told me that I needed a guarantor that made 80 times my rent. And that was the moment where I realized, okay, you can't keep running from your finances.
Well, whether it's on Insta or in your book, you talk a lot about everyone's individual financial journey. And I gotta say, the way you talk about it, it sounds like spiritual or reflective, which I've never heard anybody do with money before. So what about this approach makes looking at money different than other finance experts?
Because it is, man. It is. You know, numbers are numbers, but money and our financial situation isn't, because we have all these experiences that lead to how much money we can generate, how much money we have in our life, whether it's, you know, inheritances or, you know, whether it is your own past experiences. Like with mine, I'm a domestic violence survivor and that impacted my financial situation. And so I don't ever want to negate someone's experiences in life and how that comes into play when it comes to money. You know, one of the things I hate when I see, you know, stories published and so forth about this person paid off $100,000 worth of debt and so in 2 years. But what the story doesn't say is, like, they live with their parents or their parents paid off 50% of their debt. And, you know, they you know, had some other handout or had some other opportunity that unleveled the playing field so that someone else cannot walk in their shoes. But then they don't say
that. You're like, that's not me. I want it to be me.
Right. And then you're depressed. And then you go out and spend money that you don't have because you're depressed and triggered by this financial headline that's supposed to help you. And I think that when it comes to personal finance, we have a responsibility to understand that everyone has a different trajectory in life and everyone has different experiences. We don't negate the impacts of systemic oppression. We don't negate the impacts of domestic violence. We don't negate the impact of generational wealth or privilege. And we just want people to understand this might not be your situation, but maybe you can help someone else, or maybe you can create a better financial outcome for yourself so that other generations or your children can experience this type of privilege.
So we've got a question from a listener that I can, and it sounds like you can definitely relate to. Can we play that clip, please?
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm 25 years old. I live in Brooklyn, New York. My question is more around impulsive buying. I recently quit my job, but I still shop like I have a job. So I spend a tremendous amount of money, I guess, on ASOS or Zara. And I usually don't think about the price You know, if I see something that I like, then I'll buy it. So I guess my question is, what are your advice or strategies to resist impulsive buying?
That's near and dear to my heart. I enjoy buying things too, Stephanie. And so with impulse buying, one of the things that what I have found to be most helpful when I'm working with people is you have to save yourself from yourself. And so a lot of times you have to ask yourself, like, what's triggering you to spend? Whether it's an event coming up or just feeling like, you know, for me, seasonal transitions are big triggers because then I'm like, oh, I need to get my summer wardrobe together or I need to get my winter wardrobe together. So then I go on
Gotta look good all seasons, all year round.
Yes. Like, oh, because what I wore last year isn't good enough for this year. And I definitely understand it. But one of the things I found is unsubscribing from mailing lists. Stores are always going to have sales. And when you unsubscribe from mailing lists, or if you're, you know, if you're following them on social media, unsubscribing from following them on social media and so forth, removing the temptation or things that encourage you to buy or make you feel like you need to buy things. Last thing is implementing a policy. So a lot of times we, you know, we're in Target or wherever it might be, and we're checking out and we see these things on the way to the checkout counter. We're like, oh, I'll pick this up, so and so and so. But did you leave the house to buy that? And so one of the policies that I have is like, if I didn't leave the house to get it, I'm not buying it.
Yeah. That's what they get you.
Yeah. Like, most likely I have 6 lip glosses in my house. If I didn't leave the house for lip gloss, no matter if it's $2.99, it's about building that muscle up of resisting temptation.
I feel like all those ads still have some way of finding you, though. Like, I'll be on Instagram, and I'll be, like, scrolling down the timeline, and I'll see all these sponsored posts about stuff that I was maybe talking about out loud to one of my friends or something like that, or I was Googling the day before. And that made me think of this survey by Allianz Financial Service that said that 57% of millennials spent money that they didn't have because of stuff that they saw in their social feeds. I don't know, Tanya, are you surprised by that?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's why I think I see a lot of people in my life or my world going on social media fast, you know, just kind of taking a break from social media because it has become a whole another way for companies to access us and market to us. And you're right. I've literally had conversations about things in my house. One day I was pulling some things out the drawer for my baby like last week, and it was these little mittens, these teething mittens. And I lie to you not, like within an hour on Facebook, it was in my feed. I was like, what are they doing? Like, surveillance times 20. Like, what? Like, I didn't even have a conversation with anyone about it.
Since we talked about it right now, it's about to be mittens on all of our Instagram feeds.
The baby
mittens. Yeah, it's going to be the teething mittens.
Now they're in your life.
And it's crazy, too. Like, I feel like we have to probably buy more clothes and stuff like that than other generations did, too.
Like, yeah, because they're taking pictures.
As soon as you post a picture on the gram. That's what I'm saying. As soon as I post a picture of this fit on the gram, it got to go. Like, that's it. It's done. It's done its work.
Over.
That's like, yeah. I can't rock that to the party. They're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, I see that on your gram. Nah, I can't. I can't get any comments like that.
I know, which is unfortunate, right? You know, the other day, I was just thinking about that. I was like, no, I'm just going to... Even tomorrow, I have something to go to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, this dress, I wore it and posted on Instagram. I was like, who cares? They don't pay my bills.
It's already documented.
Like, I'm going to wear it again. Mm-hmm. One of the things you can do is arrange clothing swaps with your friends and so forth. So it's like, if you like to get newer items, trade clothes with your friends.
And you get to socialize for free.
Wait, what? Are you paying to socialize, Merk?
All right. So we've got a listener question from Malik, who's from San Francisco / Oakland Bay Area in California.
I work in the city full time, minimum wage, slightly above minimum wage. And it's cool. However, I still live in my car from time to time. And I love the Bay Area very, very much. But everything's just so expensive. I can't find a place to live. At the same time, I don't want to leave the Bay Area. This is all I know. This is where I've been. And everything is here for me. What are some tips, like some resources that I can use to better help my situation?
Man, yeah. I think this is a reality for a lot of people, right? Especially if you've grown up in a metropolitan area that is being quickly gentrified, for lack of a better word. There's a few ways to address it, Malik, is that
minimum wage is in this country is documented, like minimum wage is not designed to help people succeed or flourish financially. It like basically literally just keeps your head above water. So it is thinking about the skill set and thinking about the job opportunities you have and how, whether it's going to, I don't necessarily believe education is the route to earning more, but it's like, what are the different pathways available to you for you to increase your revenue? Chances are you've been living in your car and so forth for some time, and you might not have the best credit, and I don't want to, you know, assume, but it might be easier for you to get a room rental or a roommate or something like that, or move into someone else's, someone who understands your situation, understands your financial circumstances, and always could be asking. And then lastly, I know that we love what's familiar to us and so forth, but sometimes what's familiar to us doesn't serve us. And sometimes we do need to explore relocating to somewhere that's a little more affordable. I know it's hard.
Not the Bay.
I know. But you know what? The amazing thing about the world is there's so much going on everywhere. Mm-hmm. And life doesn't start and stop just in one particular city.
Ayo, moneymaker, run that bell.
Catch Tanya on IG at MyFabFinance. Give her a follow. And for those of you guys listening who are trying to navigate school loans, she also has got this free ultimate school loan guide on her website. I told our boss Davey about it, and he was like, what? And he printed it out, put it on his desk. I saw him all. Davey, I caught you. You wasn't slick. So check that out and more on her blog at MyFabFinance.com.
Ayo, moneymaker, run that bell.
You guys know this wouldn't be Brokish if we didn't talk about that one friend. Y'all know the friend, the, hey, bro, you got me? Everybody knows that one friend. And before I hate on that friend way too much, I am that friend to some people. So I know all my homies listening is probably like, hey, how nice for to say that. Yes, that's me. That's me.
And my friends might know me as the friend who doesn't lend the money because I'm just not that kind of girl. Sorry to say it. Actually, no, I'm not sorry to say it.
But it's cool. I don't know, man. Like, sometimes, though, like, I am that friend sometimes. But on the flip, I am the same friend that will, like, loan you money, like, at the drop of a dime. Like, I got you. If I got it. If I got it. Let me preface that. If I got it, I got you.
So this is a segment called Agree to Disagree, where Nigel and I do just that. As y'all know, we're young adults figuring out all of our ish, including finances, and that's not something all of us talk openly about with our friends.
But if we don't ask those deep questions on why we spend the way that we do or about our relationship with our money, then that could lead to some real problems.
So that's what we're about to do here. Kind of get a background on mine and Nigel's relationships with cha-ching, and let's just say it's pretty different.
So today's question is, if a friend wants you to lend them money, do you do it or nah? Merc, how you feeling about it?
Nay, I am a horse that says no.
Ignoring that, why do you feel that way?
Well, because, first of all, I just don't want to have to deal with, oh, hey, you know, oh my gosh, let's talk about like the episode of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Also, where's the money? Because it just feels like that's lingering in the back of my head. If someone owes me money, I don't want to have to be like, okay, where's the money? Because I'm not, I'm their friend. I'm not their bank manager or something like that. Because while they are my friend and I love them for all of my reasons, I don't want to have to be thinking about this transactional thing when I could have avoided it all by saying no in the first place.
Clarifying, you're saying you are against giving your friend money.
Yes, that is correct.
In all situations.
For the sake of this argument, yes.
In all situations.
Yes.
Wow. That is crazy.
Why is it crazy?
That's crazy!
Why is it crazy?
Because how is it not crazy? All my homies, and I know y'all listening to this, I got y'all. Like, don't be like, oh, yo, let's hit Benihana's. We get to Benihana's, and it's just like, oh, yeah, bro, sorry, I ain't got the 70 for the meal. Like, what? Like, that's a crazy thing to spring on somebody. But, like, my boy can't pay his rent that month. I might be broke. If I'm broke, I mean, I ain't got you. But but if I have the means, I'm a handle it, bro.
Do they need to be on that level?
Like, if I have a friend who's maybe not on that, like, brother level, but they're, like, a friend to me. Like, that's a good question. I think
Thank you.
I think that that definitely comes into play. And it depends on like how much trust you have for that person. It depends on how much, to be honest.
$3,000.
$3,000? No, I'm not extending it for you unless we're on that super...
Unless you're on the list, on Nige's VIP
exactly.
BFF
you gotta, list. You definitely got to be on... You got to have bottle service in Nige. Okay, Merk. Have you ever been in the position where you needed to ask for money?
Yes, and I went to my family. Because I feel like I have always been in a situation where, like, money hasn't really been an issue. I know that sounds like super privileged, but like that's where I come from. Like, money is something I never really had to worry about. And and I get that other people don't come from the same financial background.
Uh-huh.
So it's like that's something they actually have to do, like ask people for money.
Yeah.
But I think because I will credit it to my upbringing, like that's a big reason why I'm not going to just like give money, even if it's from someone that I super love.
It's because you've never like been in that position?
Yeah.
Given that you've never been in the position that you've needed to ask for money from somebody else, you know, like just walk, like, I guess my whole thing is just like walk a day in the shoes of somebody who like doesn't have the means. Literally, they're lost. Mm-hmm. They don't know who to ask for the money. They have no other way of getting it. And they turn to their friend, somebody who that they know loves them. And then the reason that friend doesn't do it is because, like, I don't know, it kind of doesn't really make them feel right, I guess, within themselves. Mm-hmm. Even if they have, like, the means to provide for them. Like, I don't know. If that's your homie and that you genuinely have love for that person, I feel like you're going to be there for them. But there's, like, a block when it comes to money. And why is that wall there for you?
Oh, man. Well, I honestly think it... When my parents got to this country, they didn't have money. And they worked really hard to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, my family, we run and own an auto body shop. And growing up, people were like, oh, you're like that rich girl. Oh, my gosh, your guys' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling so weird because I know not everyone had that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask my parents, like, people keep saying we're rich. Is that true? And the way I grew up, my parents made it sound like, oh, we don't have that much money. We just have enough to get by.
Right.
And I get what kind of answer that is. But they told me to say my parents worked hard for this. And so I think that money, it's a symbol, you know, like, sure, it's a tangible thing, but it's symbolic, too. And I think when I think of money, like, I think of how hard my parents worked. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, I do want to share, like, goodness and, like, all this stuff with the people that I love and friends. But, you know, my parents grew up in a war-torn country where, like, everything they had was taken away from them in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big part of the reason why I think what I do.
So I guess I get – basically what I'm getting from that is you have that kind of wall when it comes to money because it's, like – this holds a different place in my heart, and I know where that could take this friendship. And I never want to, like, feel that way towards you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Woo! You got me all. I need to wear more waterproof when I get in the studio.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense when you have, like, those certain things. And I think that's a different point. Like, when you're bringing up that's where you draw the line, is that money, I think that's respectable because it's, like, I have to draw this line at money because, when you cross that, this friendship is over.
Yeah.
And I guess that is respectful to the friendship when you make that line, like, don't cross this line.
Yeah.
Because when it does, we are no longer friends.
But I'm glad you asked that, though, because I think at the end of the day, like, you being able to hear me out and mm-hmm. knowing my reasons for what I think, like, you can respect it and be like, okay. And at the same time, like, you asking that question gave me perspective, and I was like, oh, shoot. So I respect what you believe at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that you were able to listen to what I had to say, too.
Yeah, no, and I respect what you believe as well.
Oh,
so
can we hand hug it out?
We're like low-key agreeing, but low-key agreeing to disagree. Not really sure how to feel about it.
I don't know either. I'm just all up in my feels right now, so wow! Probably a good way to end the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Adult-ish by YR Media, a national network of young artists and journalists creating content for this generation.
Shout out to our senior producer, Diggity Davey.
Davey.
Ajani for our social media graphics. And our sound engineer, Gonady Joe Johnson, and executive producer, Rebecca Martin.
The music for this episode was produced by Marcel and Moneymaka from YR Media, and the song you're hearing right now is called Get to Know Ya. We're also juiced like smoothies to be a member of Radiotopia by PRX, a Beyonce fierce indie collective of some of my fave shows in all of podcasting. Find them at radiotopia.fm.
In our next episode, we bring on sexologist Shan Boodram and our past and present lovers. Let's just say it gets wild, but that's what adulting is all about.
Okay, Nige, what are you saving up for with your next paycheck?
It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
Tell me.
It's just because I know exactly where your mind's going to go, but I'm going to just say it real fast so you don't even have a chance. I'm going to save up for like one of those personal massagers for my legs for after the gym because, you know, I'm in here getting buff, you know, got to flex.
Flex for fall.
Yeah, fall flex. Ooh, that lucky might be the new. Hey, adultish fam, let's get that trending. Hashtag fall flex, your boy coined it. But, Merc, what about you? What are you saving up for?
Okay, I deserve some vacation time from you. No, I really want to go on a cruise, which is probably going to be like a little less than a grand. Ooh. So your girl needs to save up for that. So
big spender. I love cruises, by the way. But anyway, on that note, we out this day. Catch y'all later.
Oh, your name Daisy. Guess I'm driving Miss Daisy. I'll be trying to buy the finest things for my lady, babe.
I just want to get to know ya. I just want to get to show ya. Can I get up on the phone with ya? Yeah, can I talk to ya?
Wait, you want to go on a cruise together sometime?
Oh, yeah, no, that's lit, bro. Like, we really do that.
Okay, cool. Okay, bye.
Radiotopia. From PR.